0141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Ryan Christie is given a 3-match ban after his grab on Alfredo Morelos. Eros Grezda leaves Rangers as the squad trimming continues. And a big weekend in the Championship and lower leagues, with Dundee United continuing to set the pace as Partick Thistle settle for a point. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
If you're going to start a new decade, start it with Arami. In my opinion, the case against Ryan Christie did not merit a ban. The sentence from the SFA is harsh and inconsistent, given that Alfredo Morelos was forgiven the same offence on Christie last season. But now the SFA will come under fire to review Alfredo Morelos' hand-over-throat gesture in the same game at Celtic Park last month, because that's how the game works now. But I don't think Morelos is guilty of anything other than rank stupidity. However, overreaction is all too common in the game today, and we've got a serious case of overreaction on our hands now.
We actually had some football at the weekend, Alex. Let's not forget, it was a nice change for us to focus on the lower leagues and some big results across the divisions.
Yeah, you'd have to say Dundee United are continuing to steamroll the way through the Championship, Gordon. A real important win for Morton, and Inverness cruise past Dundee. So some big games there at the weekend.
Now remember, the number you need is 0141 951 1025. And if you would rather contact us on Twitter, then we'd love to have you there as well, at Clyde SSB. Now it is the winter break, in case you hadn't noticed, and in the second hour of tonight's show, these two are getting put right on the spot, but only with your help. We're going to start trying, that being the key word, trying to pick our Scottish football team of the decade. As one decade finishes and we enter a new one, we're going to try our best to start picking the team of the decade tonight. It's the goalie and the back four, and we'll do the rest of the team as the week progresses. So get your thinking caps on. We'll do that in about an hour's time, and make sure you get plenty of suggestions in. The guys are going to have to decide, but you're going to have to help them. So get ready. 0141 951 1025. It is a Monday night. We had a reduced card, of course. No Premiership at the weekend, but don't think you're off the hook. You still need to tell us your goal of the weekend, your result of the weekend first though.
My result of the weekend is Arbroath 1 Morton 2. Just when Morton thought the floor was coming up to greet them, the survival parachute opened, and they got a terrific result at Gayfield against Dick Campbell's team after a long and weary road for them.
Yeah, I'm going for Ayr, Gordon. Result of the weekend, really good 3 points against Dunfermline, and keeps them in third place.
And this is where you really have to do your research. Footage is not as readily available when the top flight isn't on. Have you got a goal of the weekend?
I don't need footage.
Right, okay.
I just need a name. Cowdenbeath 3, Annan Athletic 1, David Cox. We spoke about him on Saturday and all of the problems that he had in the decade gone by. A man who was open and honest enough to come out and speak about his fight with depression, and who admitted once trying to take his own life. He started the new decade with a goal. Great for him. I hope the decade goes well for you.
Yes, I'm going for, I concur with that as well, Hugh. Well played, that was very fitting. I'm going for Craig Moore's winner, Gordon. I don't know if you've actually saw it. The midfielder at the edge of the box, he's took it on his left foot, he's tried to pile drive it, got it badly wrong, and the boy Moore has anticipated it and redirected it in to get 3 big points.
There we go. 0141 951 1025. That's the number you need tonight, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Only one place to start. Breaking news within the last hour or so, and that is that Ryan Christie will be banned.
Howler.
Sorry, my apologies. My apologies. Your howler of the weekend.
Get Claire White back here.
Carry on,
Hugo.
Don't let me stop you.
The Queen of the South manager, Alan Johnson, the man who said that Dundee United were guilty of gamesmanship and who'd pay to watch that. Well, the time to say that is not when you've just lost to Dundee United, you've just fallen 24 points behind Dundee United, and you've dropped to within 3 points of the relegation playoff place. Pick another day.
This is something we introduced for a bit of fun, but it's good to see that you've really taken it on board and taken it seriously since you just you reacted furiously to my accidental interruption. On you go.
I'm going for Mall Pal Mark Wilson 5-1 defeat. I wasn't going to do it to him. I was actually just about to give you it there because you forgot it, the howler of the weekend, but 3 goals in, I think it was 12 minutes.
Can't believe you can't believe you've done that to him.
I was struggling, so I'm scraping the barrel in it.
01419511025. Okay, if I move on now, with yes, today's breaking news, great. That's the Ryan Christie.
Yeah.
Second time. Has been handed a 3-match ban after his grab on Alfredo Morelos. You can use whatever word you want to describe the body part. We all saw it. Now it is a 2-match ban for violent conduct, but he gets a third game because of his red card at Livingston. So there's a disciplinary points procedure there as well. Just as a reminder of how these things come to be before the inevitable happens, and we start comparing this incident and that incident, and it's all very difficult. Specifically on this one, it was missed by Kevin Clancy. Uh-huh. It was missed by Kevin Clancy and the officials. That's how it then can be escalated. A panel of 3 ex-referees unanimously agreed that it should have been a red card. Therefore, the notice of complaint is issued. He had his hearing today, and a disciplinary panel agreed that it was violent conduct. The 2-game ban follows. The third game gets escalated to a 3-game ban because of his previous red card. Straight red card it was in the Livingston game. Right decision, wrong decision, somewhere in the middle?
Wrong decision for me. It's harsh. I don't think there was any intent to be violent there on Ryan Christie's part. And it is also inconsistent, since the same two players were involved in the same type of coming together at Ibrox last season, and Alfredo Morelos received no punishment at that time. So I think it's harsh. And you know, for it to result in a 3-game ban for me is an overreaction.
At the same time, Alex,
yeah,
Stephen McLean did get banned for a similar grab. I think it was on a Bui Kouassi, wasn't it, in the game. So you will probably you'll probably find inconsistencies if you look for them, and I totally understand why that takes people's attention, because they're high profile players. It's that high profile game. But if you look at the rules, maybe it's not that surprising. At the beginning, I think it was of last season, there was guidance issued that violent conduct, anything to the groin area, would now be deemed a red card, even if it wasn't excessive force. Now remember, if I was to throw an arm across your chest or kick out at you, it would probably need to be excessive force for it to be a red. The same rule doesn't quite apply when it comes to that area of the body.
Yeah, I remember saying to you at the time, I thought it was naughty, Gordon. I couldn't believe that the referee had missed it because of the area. And we had a little kind of back and forth because we weren't quite sure the actual rules. Anything to the groin area, whether it's excessive or not, is deemed dangerous. And under them rules, I don't think he's got a leg to stand on. Now, the problem you'll have is the consistency thing here, because you could see this a couple of times at other grounds throughout the course of the past 4 or 5 months.
And would you accept that the one Morelos didn't get done for on Christie last season is at least similar? I can't believe we're going to have to get into forensic detail of how similar the grab was.
It's identical.
Yes, but when you actually look at that in that area, dependent, because I've just said there, regardless of the force, in hindsight now, do I agree with the rule? Hugh often goes, the rules, what is it you do often say?
The law is an ass.
So I sometimes look at that and I think, come on, is it really that bad? But if it's the law and that's the way it's going to be. The thing is, there'll be so many more instances over the course of the next few months, and people will be up in arms. And the grand scale of things, when you look at, obviously it might carry on if Ryan Christie gets another red card down the line where it'll be an added game. But the actual reality is he'll probably not be available due to injury anyway.
Let's get to the phones. 01419511025. Jamie's in Paisley. What's your reaction to this news today, Jamie?
All right, guys. Happy New Year first.
Happy New Year, same
to you, Jamie.
Well, this FA are not fit for purpose. The disciplinary panel, a 2-match ban. And Alfredo Morelos is the only player in Scottish football who can get away with assault. Correct me right. Assault on the football field. Every week he does it. Every single week. The last Old Firm game, I counted 7 fouls that Alfredo Morelos made on Celtic players and was never cautioned once. Last season, he'd done 3 assaults on 3 Celtic players and wasn't cautioned.
The use of the word assault, Jamie, you've perhaps been a bit over the top with the use of that word.
Well, what would you say, the three stamps on young Mikey Johnson, what was that? Was that not assault?
I think, don't use the word assault. You know, Assault means criminality. Let's just, it's a football match. Now, as I've said, what Alfredo Morelos did to Ryan Christie last season, for me, is identical to what Ryan Christie did to Alfredo Morelos. Therefore, there's a massive inconsistency involved there. But, you know, Morelos is not a protected species. He's been sent off twice in recent weeks. He was sent off five times last season. He's had seven red cards in a season and a half. So he hardly comes under the heading of protected species.
Yeah, Jamie, you're well within your rights to count up fouls and make judgments on them. But if this is a player in Alfredo Morelos, who, as Hugh says, has received seven red cards in the last season and a half, he can't be getting away with that much.
He's getting away with every Old Firm game. Every Old Firm game that he's played.
Yeah, but he got sent off in the last one.
He got sent off in the last minute.
Still a sending off.
It's for diving, but he paid seven fouls before that and never get cautioned once.
Well, he did get cautioned once.
He did get cautioned once.
That's why he was sent off.
Right, well, sorry, six fouls after that then. He should have been off halfway through the game.
I'm not sure if there were six fouls between the first booking and the second. I would have to go back and watch it.
He's going along and he's clearly got it in for Alfredo Morelos. I think when you look at the amount of yellow cards he's picked up over the piece as well, we show that he's there. He's a guy that plays on the edge. I actually like the fact that he puts it about a bit, because, you know, when you're up against a guy who's 6 feet three, 6 feet four, when you're his height, it takes some doing to go toe to toe with them physically. So I don't mind that at all.
This level of scrutiny that we have on these incidents, Hugh, and believe it or not, it's been much calmer this season on the whole retrospective punishment front. We had one every week, it seemed, last season. It's been much quieter on that front. And this is the, I'm not sure if problem is the right word, but this is where, this is how it's going to be from now until the end of time, is fans are going to go, what about that one? And what about that one? And it's all very frustrating. And I completely understand that. I'd probably be the same if you're trying to draw up inconsistencies. If you're basing it purely on the rules, whether you like them or not, if I was to repeat what I said earlier, in that there's less tolerance when it comes to that area of the body, there doesn't have to be excessive force for it to be deemed violent conduct. Does Ryan Christie, the Celtic, have a legitimate complaint purely on that, not on what Morelos got away with in your mind last season?
On the letter of the law, this law that can occasionally be an ass, then the SFA have carried out the letter of the law today. Jamie started his call by saying the SFA is not fit for purpose. Now, that's the way people think in 2020, as they did in 2019. And now, part of the overreaction to an overreaction will be that there will be a demand for Morelos's hand over throat gesture to be reviewed by the SFA. Now, I know of no plans for that to happen. However, this is the way we are kicking off 2020. I believe the whole business involving Ryan Christie is now going to involve an overreaction to an overreaction.
Something that is worth bearing in mind, and I tried to make this clear at the start. Let's do it again. This is not going to make people happy who are angry about the Ryan Christie thing, but I did mention at the start, Hugh, every incident is not only different by nature on the field, but the process that follows might be different as well. So I know there's a thirst there to go look at Morelos last season and look at Christie this season, but you're not always comparing apples and apples. So it is entirely possible, and in fact probable, somewhere in between, that when Morelos produced a similar grab on Christie last season, if the referee saw that in its entirety at the time, whether you agree or not, but if the referee saw that in its entirety at the time, it can't go any further and the process cannot kick in. I get why that still leads to frustration, but it is worth bearing in mind that when we produce incidents from last year or from the year before, you're not always comparing apples and apples.
Yeah, but the inconsistency comes with this. If the referee saw it last season and deemed it unworthy of attention, why then do three referees looking at an identical incident deem it worthy of review and a ban for Christie?
By the way, I couldn't answer that. I'm just trying to provide all the relevant information. Maybe there is more in it when you're, when you're looking at it back over and over again, and it's with the benefit of replays, and you kind of know what you might be,
you know,
looking for.
We always say,
but like I say, it's worth bearing in mind, if we're talking about the one last season, you don't have to agree with this, but if a referee says he saw it at the time, end the story. The process doesn't go any further.
I fully accept that. However, what fans will say is, well, if the referee decided that no action was necessary then, why the three referees now say that an identical coming together of two players merits a judicial review, and after that review, a ban for Ryan Christie?
Robbie is in Falkirk. What's your take on it, Robbie?
I just want to say, I never want to come on sounding like a paranoid Celtic fan or anything like that. You know, my calls are usually based about the game and tactics and all the rest of it. What I want to say though is, what you said there about, and yourself actually, Gordon, about that incident with Morelos. Now, let's look at what he'd done quite clearly. It doesn't take forensic. It's quite clear. It stamped on Anthony Ralston. There was a fly kick between the legs on Scott Brown, and Ryan Christie grabbed him by the testicles. Now, here's the worrying thing that must worry anybody if you're a journalist, a fan, anything to do with football, an ex-player. Now, if the referee deemed that he's seen those three incidents and says to who's this guy who's the chief guy, the referee, is it John Fleming? He should come on the phone and explain.
Actually, Robbie, can you hold on? John Fleming sadly passed away some weeks ago. So
I didn't know that.
Anyway, this is the whole point. You know that we're now getting into all manner of areas, and we're going back and we're re-refereeing a match which took place last season. The only reason,
I mean, was it 1 year ago? Was it the same fixture?
Yeah. The only reason I am bringing up the incident between Morelos and Christie from last season is to compare it to what is taking place between Morelos and Christie this season. And my only observation is, if the referee did not deem Morelos on Christie to be worthy of action, then Celtic fans will say, why the three other referees deem Christie on Morelos worthy of action?
Is it because there's a complaint in place then, Gordon? Someone complains about a situation, how it kickstarts these processes?
If something is dealt with at the time, like we've mentioned, if something, and this is not my procedure, I'm not saying I like it this way, I'm just trying to explain, if something is dealt with at the time, then it can't go any further. What we've seen, and it's maybe perhaps muddied the waters a little bit in recent seasons, is if a referee does produce a yellow card and you then assume that he's seen it, but that might not be the case, because he might then say that he didn't see it in its entirety, or he didn't see the part of the offence which would have constituted a red card.
Yeah.
So I think Hugh's right. We can compare the incidents in terms of what happens on the pitch, but it's difficult to be really accurate with the comparison if the procedure has led you in two different ways. I don't know what answer can we possibly give you to decisions that happened in a game 12 months ago.
Yeah.
They were seen at the time and they were dealt with. If that then is not acceptable to some people, I would understand that
We're now trapped in the modern day dilemma. Every Celtic fan who calls in will say that an injustice has taken place today. Every Rangers fan that calls in will say, no, the SFA have him bang to rights. So it's a colour-coded verdict that has been given. You agree with it if you're in the blue corner, you disagree with it if you're in the green corner. I just think, and I'm not saying that anything goes and it should be wrestling on the park, I just think that we call it a man's game, and what took place, I don't think there was violent intent there. Not last season, not this season, but we've come up with two different interpretations.
Again, though, this comes back to your sort of, that those are your personal feelings on it, which is absolutely fine. But unfortunately for Ryan Christie in this instance, and for other players in other instances, the question of intent is practically irrelevant. There is no relevance to whether it was intended or not. The rule doesn't specify that it has to be intentional.
It's just anything to the groin area.
Yeah. Even in violent conduct.
Therefore, if it's 100% accidental, you still have to go.
Well, yeah, essentially.
I think if something's 100% accidental and you have to be punished for it.
Well, without getting hysterical and producing ridiculous examples, if there's a high ball and I go and with my studs 6 feet in the air, but I accidentally catch you in the face, I'm going to get sent off for it.
Well, we appear to be dealing in referees' interpretation of these matters.
Final word to you, Robbie.
I just want to say that I understand what Hugh was saying there, but there's one thing. I wouldn't call in about it, but see last season, if that was a Celtic player, then that to a Rangers player, I would still be baffled. I would still be baffled like how the referee has actually seen the incident. If I was ahead of the referee, I would actually say to the referee, how can you actually see them and deem them because you've seen them? There's no case to answer for.
Yeah, but listen, that is a complaint we heard many times in the days and weeks and months that followed that game. So I couldn't argue with that too much. Robbie from Falkirk, thank you very much. 01419511025. More of your calls next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray is here, Hugh Keevans is alongside him, and they're waiting to take your calls. Lots of reaction coming into the decision to give Ryan Christie what will now be a 3-match ban for his grab on Alfredo Morelos. We're on the phones and we're on Twitter at Clyde SSB. Paul Ngoli says, haven't we had yellow cards upgraded to reds and reds reduced to yellow via video evidence? So how can nothing be done if the ref seen it at the time? Absolute nonsense, says Paul Ngoli. As the old and frustrating phrase goes, I don't make the rules, Hugh. And that is the one that we've argued about it for 18 months now. Whilst the referee might see something and he might give a yellow card at the time, he perhaps did not see the full extent of it and didn't see the part of the incident which would constitute a red card, and that's why we've seen yellows upgraded to reds. I completely get why folk hate that. Fraser Wishart is one of them on behalf of PFA Scotland.
Re-refereeing, he calls it.
I completely get it. I completely get it, but that's just the way it is.
The trial has taken place, the verdict is in, and now only the shouting match remains.
Oh, that was short and sweet. I thought you were carrying on.
I think, well, as obviously looking for examples, did Alan McGregor not get reviewed when he hit the centre forward for Aberdeen last year?
There were many last season. Right, let's go back to the phones. Mike is in shots. Hi, Mike.
Hello there. How are you?
Good, Mike. How are you?
Yeah, not too bad. It was just regarding the Morales and Christie issue. Mm-hmm. Now, if this is a new ruling, you can't argue against it. Hugh was actually saying there that it was a coming together. There's no way it was a coming together. A coming together is when somebody bumps into each other or there's a clash, and you know, somebody gets you know, they don't get cautioned or anything like that. This was somebody grabbing hold of Morales' nether region and squeezing or whatever, which could have caused a really, really bad injury. You know how delicate it is down there. And at the end of the day, I believe it was quite right for him to get a 2-match ban. It wasn't an accident, as you say as well. It was, and the new rules suggest there that what's been done with regards to the ban is 100% correct, and I agree with that.
Well, as I say, we're now...
you don't completely disagree with that, do you? Because you did accept that by the letter of the law you could understand it.
Yeah, and that's why I asked you if a person was deemed to have caused injury down there, but it was entirely accidental.
Well,
I'm speaking.
I'm speaking in general, or his hand goes in there.
I am speaking in general terms. I am not discussing that particular incident involving Morelos and Christie. I was asking Gordon Duncan if what took place between two players was 100% accidental, would it still result in a red card? And his reply to me was, yes, that's the rule.
Well, to clear up, what I was trying to say was that there's no mention of there's no mention of intent. So you can then draw your own conclusions. But then, listen, this has been forensically examined, I'm sure, not only by a panel of three ex-referees, but then by another disciplinary panel today, as Ryan Christie's hearing takes place. The only thing that's worth bearing in mind for the, because it does come under violent conduct, Hugh. Now, mm-hmm. I can, again, we'll talk about language. People might think, well, it's not exactly violent, is it? If we're going to be pedantic about people's use of language, it's not exactly violent. But the guidance is that anything to that area, you're not really asked to take the force into consideration. Right,
but Mike is now taking us into the medical field. How much did Ryan Christie grab Alfredo Morelos? What level of injury could that cause? Well, you know, now we're going down all manner of roads. There was a review. Three referees decided there should be the involvement of the compliance officer. The ban is now imposed. And, you know, as I say, it's only the shouting match that remains, because it's done and dusted. He's banned.
David and Paisley, what's your take on it?
Hiya, good evening, guys. Happy New Year to you all.
David.
Hugh, mostly yourself. As everybody knows, I'm a fervent listener to the show, and I come on as regularly as I possibly can. I've had my ding-dongs with you over the years, but I've got nothing but respect for you, Hugh, as a professional person, and giving your opinion and what have you. But I've got to be honest, before I go into my main point, over the last 6 months, Hugh, you're actually starting to sound like an apologist for Celtic Football Club. And it really, I just wonder sometimes if you actually listen to yourself back on this show. Now, let's go back 1 year to the same match, which was mentioned earlier, and what you said and Gordon said about the Christy Morelos incident. You quite clearly stated on this show that Alfredo Morelos should have been hauled up in three incidents, and one of them was the identical incident to what you're trying to say that Ryan Christie shouldn't have been brought up for. If that's not hypocritical, Q, I don't know what is.
I fail to follow your point.
Well, you've said last year that Alfredo Morelos should have been hauled up when he didn't get the red card against Celtic. And one of the incidents you mentioned was the exactly identical incident to what you're now saying that Ryan Christie shouldn't have been banned for.
And so the reason I brought that up was because if the referee at that game did not deem Morelos to have done anything that was worthy of action, then how can three referees look at a similar incident today and decide that it is worthy of action? That's why I compared the two.
I don't like sticking up from David, but he's taking these two incidents now and using them as a comparison, whereas as last year, you've obviously only got one to go on. Let me flip it on its head then. Given what we've learned today, that Ryan Christie's been banned for the three games, was Alfredo Morelos then lucky to get away with it last year?
Of course he was. Nobody's going to deny that. I think every Rangers fan...
Quite a lot did deny it at the time, to be fair.
I'm telling you, as a Rangers fan, I'll tell you straight. Me and the guys, we all said he was lucky to get away with it. But it swings and roundabouts. Decisions happen, decisions don't happen. It's like decisions in the games, offside goals, deciding cup finals, etc. You bleat on it, you got on with it.
But when it comes to matters of bans and suspensions and what have you, there has to be consistency. And if it's not worthy of action last season, it should be unworthy of action this season.
But are you trying to ignore Stephen McLean, or is that one, because he did get banned for it. So what is it? We're going for 100% consistency, I certainly can't promise that. I don't know if anyone can, but there is precedent there. Stephen McLean grabbed Kouassi. He was given the ban. So there might not be the level of consistency that you want, but there's still something there.
In that particular incident, if I recall it correctly, it's a corner kick. The ball's dead. And before the corner kick is taken, Stephen McLean and Kouassi have their moment together. And for me, the referee does see it and action is taken, and it's different than when the ball's in play and players are in and out. But I'm just intrigued. You know, as I say, we go into all manner of areas with this, and now David, in his opinion, who he says he respects my opinion, but for the last 6 months I've been a Celtic apologist. I'd love him to give me one other example of where I am an apologist.
Well, you defend them constantly. Every time. You've just been a hypocrite by defending Ryan Christie when you wanted Morelos pulled up last year. Apples don't make apple shoes.
I mean,
the bottom line is, go back to last year and listen to the same show and you'll hear yourself quite clearly saying that Alfredo Morelos should be hauled up in front of the SFA, and one of the reasons was grabbing Ryan Christie by the testicles.
Trust me, I'm on this programme for hours every week and you're going back a year. Have you any idea how many radio hours I've clocked up in that time? But the only reason I brought it up is that if it's deemed unworthy of action one time, it should be deemed unworthy of action another time.
David, do you not see that difference? And I know it is a subtle difference, but Hugh's reason for suggesting that Ryan Christie shouldn't have been banned is because Morelos wasn't.
Yes, I can understand, right? But what I will say is, I can understand where he's coming from on that. But what I will say, and Hugh is one of the people to really bang the drum on this, not every referee or every referee panel sees it the same way.
I'm just disappointed. I'm just disappointed.
That is true as well. It's worth bearing in mind, Hugh. Yeah. You can't.
But I'm just disappointed, David, that you've gone down that old road of he's a wee Celtic man. You know, it's so disappointing. I've done plenty in my time and been banned by Celtic plenty in my time not to deserve that kind of puerile, childish observation.
You two can kiss and make up another time. That was David and Paisley and Mike in Shorts. Thank you very much for your thoughts. So 01419511025 at Clyde SSB on Twitter. This will rumble on of that, I have no doubt whatsoever. We will try and go for some other football discussion. We're going to hear from Celtic assistant John Kennedy after the travel with Stephen.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans is here, Alex Ray is alongside him, and we're taking your calls mostly, well, all on today's decision to give Ryan Christie a three-match ban after his grab on Alfredo Morelos. If you've got any other thoughts, let's hear them on the phones or on Twitter. And don't forget, in the second hour, we're going to kick off our Team of the Decade. We can fall out with each other even more on that topic as well. But we're going to do it over the next couple of nights. Since it's the winter break, we're going to look towards building our Team of the Decade from Scottish football. Alex, in terms of news happening today,
yes,
Rangers have flown out for their winter training camp in Dubai. News of an outgoing, it's not quite the exciting signing that the people hope for at this time of year, but Eros Grezda leaves Rangers. It perhaps signifies, though, that that move to really trimming the squad to a more sustainable level is underway. Andy King going back to Leicester. Eros Grezda, we know there are others who may fall into that category as well.
Yeah, without doubt. And I think it's important to get these guys out sooner rather than later, Gordon. Grezda just didn't work for him. You know, the times that I saw of him just didn't look the part. I think there was some stuff with some reserve games that he was having a nightmare as well. You know, instances there, Hugh, it was not favourable and it all led to him leaving. So Andy King's in back, had very little game time. So for me, it makes sense. And the quicker they get these other guys out as well, don't forget, you know, England and so forth are still playing. So it might be a case of shipping them out.
I hope not, Hugh, because we always just like to see a bit of drama, a bit of excitement, deadline day, whatever it is. But might it be the case that during this window a lot more of the focus actually goes on who can be moved out and which squad is trimmed more effectively?
Well, Ross Wilson, who is in charge of recruitment for Rangers, has said that he and Steven Gerrard agreed that the squad needed to be trimmed, and he's starting to go about his business now. I don't think that Rangers need to bring in many players, if any players. I think there's a need for Celtic to get one or two. But also Celtic have, don't mention the word deadwood, some people find it offensive, but there's deadwood at Celtic, and Celtic need to get rid of that as well.
Now let's hear from John Kennedy. He says Celtic shortcomings were a big reason Rangers beat them last month. He says Steven Gerrard's side haven't got their number and they'll be raring to go once the winter break is over.
They were on it, you know, in terms of the game. They played very well. We didn't at all. So it always looks like that in terms of at Celtic Park in terms of the possession was good. We couldn't do much with it in terms of we couldn't get front players into the game well enough. We didn't penetrate them well enough. We didn't move the ball quick enough. So there's a number of areas where we know we can improve upon. You know, Rangers were, you know, as a team, you know, well organised, defended well. They were rigid. You know, so yeah, there's things we can look at and look to improve upon, but not just against Rangers in terms of our whole playing style and what we want to improve going into the second half of the season. That's, you know, ultimately we're out here to start just now. You know, it's always good to reflect on it, you know, but the most important thing is to get back on that training pitch. That's when you get the chance to put things right and get working on what you need to improve upon. The players are as disappointed as anyone. It was a disappointing game for us, disappointing performance, more so than anything else, as well as the result. You know, but as I say, you've had a week to probably stew on it. It's probably difficult at times when you have that week because of the result, but you know, you can see the players are eager to get going again, and that's what we'll do.
John Kennedy also says there are a few options they're looking at in terms of a new striker. He does expect Jack Hendry to go out on loan. Doesn't know though if Hearts is a likely destination.
Yeah, I think every window we try and improve. You know, we've been looking at options, and there's a couple of positions we'd like to try and, you know, add a face to give us more competition and improve the quality of the squad as well. There's a few guys who, you know, got a quite inflated squad as well who will probably go the other way. So again, it's getting that balance right where guys who need to maybe go out and seek a new challenge or get some game time, whatever it might be, but at the same time bring in, you know, a bit of added quality to give our squad a hand as well and improve us as a team. Some options there which are going on in the background, and that will continue. You know, we'd like to do that as quickly as possible, but again, it needs to be right. We don't want to jump into something that's not quite right for us. So, you know, there's a lot of work going on behind the scenes. It's an area we are trying to improve and give us more options. You know, but hopefully in the next, you know, week or two we can have a bit more news on that.
One player that might be leaving, according to the reports, is Jack Hendry. He's been linked with Hearts. Has there been anything concrete on that?
I don't know about the Hearts thing. I've not been kept up to date on that, but I think for Jack, he's obviously found himself out of the squad and he's on the periphery, so he's certainly one who, you know, be looking at going and getting some game time, whatever that may be, and probably get his game time up and get his career back, you know, on track in terms of playing games, which is also important for any player.
Very generous to use the word periphery. I don't think Jack Henry's on the periphery of anything. He is completely out of the picture at Celtic, and hopefully he can kickstart his career somewhere else. For me, bottom line is Rangers win on December 29, blew open the title race. Had Celtic won at Celtic Park, 8 points of a lead they'd have had over Rangers, albeit Rangers having a game in hand. The psychological damage would have been considerable for Steven Gerrard and his players, but it's been blown wide open now. And when Celtic come back after their break in Dubai, they are going to have to be very, very careful, because Rangers' game in hand could be their ace in the hole.
Paul is a Celtic fan in Kirkintilloch. What's on your mind tonight, Paul?
Hi Gordon, hi Hugh, hi Alex.
Hi Paul.
Hello.
Hugh, I'm going to stick up here. I don't think you're a wee Celtic man. You never annoy me enough talking about Celtic or Rangers to think you're... I never think you're anything. I mean, there's guys in the show that's got a leading shield like Alec and Mark and that, but you know that, but I think that sounds even disrespectful.
Well, thank you very much for that. We move on, I'm used to it.
Okay, my point tonight is the whole Ryan Christie thing. Now, I would, as a Celtic fan, I really wouldn't have a problem with the Ryan Christie thing if the SFA had been consistent with that. Now, I never even noticed it. I was at the game. I never even noticed it in the highlights. So it's actually just came to light to me in the past few days. Now, it settled down. Rangers won the game. Settled down, started to move on. You would think, who in the SFA would think, right, we're going to revisit this. Of all games, we're going to implement this law now and stoke it back up. I mean, as Alex says, things like this happen in loads of games, every game. But they've chose this game with the Morelos incident happened previously that we've never done anything about. I just think it's just a typical SFA. I just don't think they know how to run things.
I think we have to take into account that this game is monumental. Huge. And if you are high profile like that, then obviously every incident is magnified, and the SFA have decided to re-examine this one. So for me, you know, the Celtic support will, to a man, woman and child, say it's unfair, unjust, harsh, whatever. And the Rangers supporters, while acknowledging, as the earlier caller did, that Alfredo Morelos was lucky to get away with it on Ryan Christie last season, they will say, well, if he was lucky to get away with it, then Ryan Christie's been caught this season.
That works both ways, though, surely. Are you suggesting that retrospective disciplinary action is more likely just because it's a big game? I mean, yeah. But the focus... But it does happen other times. It just doesn't get the same focus. The first... Can anyone tell me the first Premiership yellow card this season which was upgraded to a red retrospectively?
You tell me now.
It was Jake Carroll for Motherwell against Livingston, but no one cared because it didn't have the same scrutiny in this city the way everything else does. So surely that works both ways.
But at the same time, though, you have to concede that this game is so high profile that these incidents are discussed more so than
forensically,
more so than affairs of state
afterwards. But I'm talking about Paul's initial point as and your response to it, which was going along the lines of suggesting, and you can tell me if I'm wrong, that this has only been retrospectively dealt with because it was this fixture.
I'm just not sure how you prove that. No, not only because it is inevitable that incidents in that particular fixture will be examined forensically.
Yeah, by us, though. I'm not sure the process actually changes much. The disciplinary process, I don't think, changes. We'll talk about it more.
Mm-hmm.
But does the disciplinary process really change based on the size of the game? It shouldn't, certainly.
No, it shouldn't. However, how do you ignore the fact that this game, the country comes to a standstill when this game is played? As I say, I just think everyone overreacts to everything now. Everything. And... well, these two are concerned because for the first time in years they have a proper title race on. Everything is even more carefully scrutinised. I just think that the SFA would be, you know, it's a man's game.
Yeah, what does that really mean, though? I don't think we've got time to delve into that discussion, but come on.
Was it
2020?
Was it really a two-game ban offence?
That is the question, Alex, and this is where you have to just draw your... It's all your own personal thoughts between your own feeling and the rules. I think most people look at those rules and can kind of understand it. But even you, probably like you... I mean, in your day, that would have gone unpunished, you would imagine.
You wouldn't even have been brought up in it. And when Stephen was in doing the travel there, I says, and we used to do it when we were in the games, if you knew an opposition play game, a wee dunk, go have some of that. And you know, it was a bit more jovial. The fact of the matter is you can't even go near that area. And the problem you have is, and I think most of the callers, is consistency, because you're looking at various other examples. People are flagging up other things, not necessarily narrow regions, talking about stamps and things. But if you go across the board, opposition fans will highlight scenarios where a certain player, a certain team, and eventually what happens is the ones that are not level-headed is it becomes a bragging right because one of your guys got off with it, you get done with it, and the actual thing is it just becomes a mishmash. But the actual reality, by the letter of the law, what he did is a ban.
Final word to you, Paul.
And as Alec, you're right, it is a ban, but... It should have been a ban for Alfredo as well, and that's the whole point. It's the consistency thing. It's no there, and it's the SFA.
We'll leave that one there. Thank you very much. That was Paul in Kirkintilloch. We're already running late for this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
You can grab yourself a Clyde One Super Scoreboard ball if you beat the pundit against Hugh Keevans or Alex Ray tonight. All you have to do is come on here, get more questions right than they do, and the sign ball is yours. It's 0141 951 1025. You have to call now. You have to call before the news at 7. And don't forget, in the second hour, we're going to try and start our team of the decade, but we need your help.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to thompsons.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We spent the whole first hour, I think, discussing Ryan Christie's three-match ban. It was breaking news. Clearly lots of people feeling strongly about it. So no problem with that at all. If you've got calls on it, no problem. Keep them coming in and tweet us at Clyde SSB. But... I was going to say all of this week, but for a large part of this week, we're going to try and come up with a Scottish football team of the decade. Now, you've seen various versions of these maybe on social media, have been discussing it with your friends. Well, Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray and the pundits tomorrow, the pundits on Wednesday, they're going to be put on the spot. They need your help though. You need to convince them that your guy gets a place in the team of the decade. There are no rules. It is pretty straightforward. It is really up to you. You can put whoever you want. They can have played here for 1 year or 10 years. It really is up to you. And we're going to start with the goalkeeper and the back four tonight. So give us all your thoughts on who should go in that goalie or back four slot. 0141 951 1025 after this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Beat the Pundit time. Time to see if we can get some victories on the board for the listeners as we go into the new year. Ian is in Oban. How are you tonight, Ian?
Not bad yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all, thank you. I'm going to toss the coin. If it's heads, you're up against Hugh Keevans. And if it's tails, it is Alex Ray. And it is tails, Alex Ray. Ian, just to let you know that this season, Alex Ray has given away more signed balls than anyone else.
I've played more, that's why.
So you have quite a good chance of landing one.
I've heard that, but I know he's quick at the answers, so go watch.
Well, let's find out just how quick. I'm going to give Alex some Clyde 2 to listen to, and that way he will not know what your answers are. Ian, you have 30 seconds head to head with Alex. The secret, as always, is you can pass. So if you don't know it, just pass it and quickly move on to the next one, okay?
Right, no bother.
Good man, your time starts now. Who's the manager of Livingston?
Hope.
In what year did Lewis Stevenson make his Hibs debut?
2009.
Which team is currently second in the Scottish Championship?
Air United.
Former Scotland international Russell Martin currently manages which English side?
Pass.
Which former Celtic manager has joined New York City?
Ronnie Dyla.
What is the full name of Lowland League team Cumbernauld?
Colts.
Which Scottish club did Kenny McLean begin his playing career with?
St.
Mirren. Okay, let's bring Alex Ray back. Alex, can you hear us?
Yes.
You can. Great. Same set of questions to you. You ready?
Yep.
Let's get stuck in. Who is the manager of Livingston?
Gary Holt.
What year did Lewis Stevenson make his Hibs debut?
2009.
Which team is second in the Scottish Championship?
Inverness.
Former Scotland international Russell Martin currently manages which Eke English
Dons.
Side? Which former Celtic manager has joined New York City?
Ronnie D. Dyla.
What is the full name of the Lowland League team Cumbernauld?
Pass.
Which Scottish club did Kenny McLean begin his playing career with?
St Mirren.
Which French club did Derek McInnes play with between 99 and 2000 quickly?
Nonce.
Okay. What do you think, Ian?
I think he's maybe just edged it.
I think it was a close one. Let's find out. The manager of Livy was Gary Holt. You both got it, so we're level. Lewis Stevenson made his Hibs debut in 05, so none of you got that one right. The second place team in the Championship is Inverness. Alex Ray goes 2-1 in front. He then goes 3-1 in front. MK Dons is the club of Russell Martin. You did know Ronnie Dyla's off to the Big Apple though, Hugh Keevans. Will you be going over to speak to him? I know you were a big fan of his. I wonder if we can maybe set up for you to go and...
I wish the man nothing but success.
Keevans meets Dyla in Central Park. You can see it there. Anyway, it's 4-2 to Alex Ray at this stage. The Lowland League team is Cumbernauld Colts. So you pulled that one back, Ian. 4-3. The Scottish club that Kenny McLean began his playing career with was St Mirren. You both got it. 5-4. Derek McInnes played for Toulouse. You didn't get it, but it didn't matter. Ian didn't get that far, so he's pipped you by 5-4. Ian, hard lines.
Well played, Alex.
I could just take the win rate up a bit. You know, that's important.
Yeah, one less ball because we were about to start docking your wages. But anyway, Ian, that was a good effort. And sometimes I say that and I don't really mean it, but I meant that one. 5-4, that's decent. That's not too bad. Derek McInnes at Toulouse, eh? Did you remember that one, Hugh?
Yeah, I do, actually.
Now that I said it, or you remembered it before I gave the answer away?
No. He went over on the Bosman, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yep.
There we go. Right, thank you, Ian and Owen. 01419511025. Twitter is at Clyde SSB. I fully expect that there are lots of you who haven't managed to get through to talk Ryan Christie. Apologies for that. Keep trying. We'll try and squeeze more in as the evening progresses. But let's have a bit of fun. It is the winter shutdown. We always try and do something a bit different during the winter break, and we will try and do that over the coming days and weeks. So tonight and this week, we are going to try and put together a Scottish football team of the decade with your help. There are no rules, there are no restrictions. You need to help the pundits come up with a team of the decade over the next few nights. And tonight it's the goalkeeper and the back four. Now, the beauty of this discussion, Hugh Keevans, some people maybe played here for 1 year and were absolutely outstanding. Yep. Someone else maybe played for all 10 years and were bang average. Yep. And it's going to be up to you which ones you put in, because there is no right or wrong answer.
Correct. You know, just to kick off the discussion, I mean, Fraser Forster has been here twice in that particular decade, 2010 until last week, and has been outstanding on both occasions. Alan McGregor, again, consistent, outstanding. Craig Gordon, a lot of the decade for Craig Gordon was spent down south and also reviving his career, which he did spectacularly well, but he had a long time out because of injury, which may lessen his chances. And to throw in another couple randomly, Joe Lewis has always been impressive, and Darren Randolph, when he was here, was very impressive. And I see he's off today in a £4 million transfer down south. So, you know, lots of names to mull over.
Like we said, Alex, we fully intend on falling out over lists over the next couple of days, pundits, callers, listeners alike. But there are no right or wrong answers in this, because sometimes you might just want to go for this player was a better player than that guy, regardless of what they achieved or yep. how long they were here. Some people might want to reward long service and look at the decade as a whole and say how much did they do within that period. But the beauty of it, no rules, no restrictions. You guys are going to have to come up with the answers, but the listeners are going to have to convince you that their man deserves a place.
Yeah, I've got a couple of names for the right back, Beth Gordon. I was looking at Lustig would have to come into the reckoning in terms of the amount of trophies and so forth that he brought to the table. Tavernier with his assists, his consistency over the period. I'm going to throw the boy Whittaker, who was at Hibs. I liked him throughout the years as well. A very good competitor. So there's three right backs right away.
Right, here's what we need to achieve by 8 o'clock tonight. We need, with your help, a goalkeeper and a back four for the team of the decade. So five positions between now and 8 o'clock is going to be quite an ask. So don't hang about. Give us a call right now, 0141 951 1025, or tweet us at Clyde SSB. Who should be in this team of the decade, goalkeeper and back four? Let's obviously start with the goalkeeper.
You looking for a vote now?
Let's just spitball a little bit further. We'll make the decisions a bit later on. But Alan McGregor, Craig Gordon, you mentioned Joe Lewis, Darren Randolph.
For me, it comes down to Forster or McGregor. Because, as I say, so much of the decade for Craig Gordon was spent at Sunderland, and a lot of it spent trying to regain his career after a serious injury. And he did it very, very well at Celtic. But for me, for his two spells at Celtic, Fraser Forster and Alan McGregor is the other one. For me, it's a two-way street.
Two-way street, fight. Says Hugh Keevans. Do you agree or disagree? And if you agree, which one gets your vote? 0141 951 1025. Right, so let's start with Alan McGregor was a name that he mentioned. I think he won a double at the start of the decade.
Yep.
Alex, he's clearly been away for the majority of the decade, but that's okay, because what did I say? No rules, no restrictions. He's back for the last couple of years of the decade, and he's about to turn 38. What goes in his column?
McGregor, I think just consistency, Gordon. And when it comes to the big games, you have seen time after time, as an example, the penalty save the other day, you know, the big moments.
Yeah.
The fact, you know, I think he's coming back even better when he went away. Hugh, I'm looking at the time he's been back under Steven Gerrard, 18 months, and I'm struggling to see any mistakes, the level of consistency. Now, he's just signed an extension to his contract as well. Fraser Forster, some of the saves that he produced recently against Lazio were just out the top door. And if you want to go back to the cup final, so yeah. For me, it boils down to these two as well.
Yeah, the only blot on Alan McGregor's book is his temperament. Sometimes he can be guilty of rash challenges on players, but without question, an outstanding goalkeeper.
Like I say, no rules, no restrictions. Is it worth, I know you like a bit of a fairy tale element, Hugh, what about Craig Gordon? This guy's career was Absolutely. Over during this decade. He was pretty much no longer a professional footballer. He came back in the second half of this decade to win 12 trophies.
Yeah, incredible. I've always said of him, he's an outstanding goalkeeper. There was a point when I think I said in this programme that he was the best goalkeeper I'd seen in a Celtic jersey for many, many years. But I'm just wondering if Fraser Forster eclipses Craig Gordon.
This is why it's going to be a fascinating discussion, because you can be comparing two guys that played completely different lengths of time, achieved different things.
I think when you look at the, it was a three contract 2014. Yeah. So I think it was,
as far as business goes as well.
Yeah, in terms of coming back for nothing, 146 league games. Gordon, as you say, has won numerous trophies. So he showed a level of consistency through a very good. You know, you talk about the double trebles and so forth, he would have come into that bracket as well. So there is plenty of contenders. To be honest with you, there's three contenders: Forster, McGregor, and big Craig.
Dean Curley's gone Forster and goals on his team. Govan Emerald CSE says Boric, but I think that's going to be just outside our decade. Well, I mean, he left in 2010, so yeah, I mean, if you really want him in there. But I think obviously some players will have played a long time across the decade, some won't. Billy Allen is another one, throwing in Alan McGregor. Why not get on the phone and try and convince the guys, because they're going to have to choose one or the other. And if you want to hear your man in the team, you're going to have to call us right now, 01419511025. Like I say, a few tweets coming in at Clyde SSB. What are you inclined to go for? Simply, who's the better goalkeeper? How much are you taking into account what they achieved over the period that were in question?
I think the only criterion is who's the best goalkeeper of the lot. You know, not necessarily the case of how many trophies did you win, simply who's the best goalkeeper. And you know, big Arto Boric, I know, is a cult figure with the Celtic supporters, but if you left in 2010, I do not see how you can be in the team of the decade.
Thomas Conroy's got some thoughts. He says it can't be McGregor, he's only played 3 out of the 10 seasons, which is valid, but at some point we're going to have to put someone in, probably, who only played a couple of the seasons, because that's just the way it works. Well, there are no rules.
Well, we get
I'll repeat
to
it till I'm blue in the face.
When we get to the central defenders, the first name for me would be Virgil van Dijk.
Do you think he makes it?
Oh yeah. You know, Virgil van Dijk's time here, while not the whole decade, was better than everyone else's whole decade.
Right, let's not get ahead of ourselves, because we don't quite have a goalkeeper yet. So let's see if we can get a thought from the phone lines, 01419511025. You can tweet us at Clyde SSB as well. But I think Jamie's on the line. Jamie's in Tillicoutry. Hi, Jamie. Hello, Jamie.
Hello.
Hi, Jamie, we've got you.
Hello. All right, I thought I was in the queue waiting.
No,
how are you doing?
You're right.
Happy New Year, right?
Yeah, same to you, Jamie.
Okay.
Right, team of the decade. Right, who's the goalie?
Right, I wasn't following up about the goalie, since the producer there. I've got a bit of a left field nomination for it, and I'm going to nominate Frank Sosie to be in the team of the decade.
Too early, Jamie. The decade, no. 2010 onwards.
No, was he not there till about 2012, was he not?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I will
Alex
check.
Alex McLeish was 2000. I wouldn't imagine he'd have been there 10 years.
I'll tell you what, Hugh, for what it's worth, if we were going back then, it would be a great show. He left in 2001, Jamie. We're miles away. No, we've got you now. Come on.
Give us a goalkeeper, big man.
The guys have been discussing Alan McGregor, Craig Gordon, Fraser Forster. If you were to go across the decade and you had to pick a keeper, who would you? Oh, he's gone. He's embarrassed by his Frank Sosie shout.
Right.
And he's genuinely disappeared.
He was about to pick Andy
Gorham. I
didn't
mind it. People make mistakes.
A Hibs fan. He was about to pick Andy Gorham for his goalkeeper. But
he's actually not a Hibs fan.
He's not a
Hibs
Celtic
fan. Yeah.
Oh, Frank Sosie was like
to go from left field, and he really did.
Yes.
He went about 10 years outside the allocated time.
He only misses
period.
It by 9 years.
Yeah, it's a good show, mind you.
Alex, would you be able to pick one, just nothing else? Don't even bother talking to me about trophies won or time spent here during the decade. Who's the best keeper out of those three? If I had to force you into an answer,
I would go for Alan McGregor. I think his consistency throughout the period, he went down to England as well. I know this is about Scotland, but I just feel over the piece, I think he's been a model. He's played wherever he's went. I think he's been brilliant.
Yeah, Hugh, I mean, like we said, it's up to you if you want to cover off the period and what they did here. I know he's only been here a couple of seasons. Laurie's a Celtic fan on the line. Laurie, who should the goalkeeper be?
Well, Well, my choice may surprise some of your listeners. My choice would be Alan McGregor over Fraser Forster. Can I tell you my reasons why?
Absolutely.
But I remember a game that took place some years ago, and there was another radio station, now defunct, based in the city. And I listened to that programme, as I do Clyde, and I had been invited by them to take part in an Old Firm commentary in their studios. The game in question, Hugh and Alec will no doubt recall, was at Ibrox Stadium, and Alan McGregor saved a last-minute penalty kick from Giorgio Samaras. I remember Ewan Cameron at the time asking me what my observations in the game were, and I said to him that Alan McGregor at that time was, and still is, worth probably 10 points a season to Rangers. And that penalty save did prove crucial, because Celtic later blew it against, I think it was Inverness, Cali Thistle, with two or three games of the season remaining. I think he's a better all-round goalkeeper in terms of mobility and agility than Fraser Forster. Fraser Forster, for me, is a guy, because he's size, he's got a wingspan like an albatross. So he's a great shot-stopper. However, he is a bit susceptible in getting across his line and dealing with cross balls. I don't think he's got the same judgment from crosses as what Alan McGregor does. That's my opinion, guys.
What do you make of the case Laurie puts forward for Alan McGregor? Oh, going against his team allegiance as well, no yeah. problem with that.
Oh, not at all. It's interesting that Laurie brings up a penalty save against Celtic because the penalty save from Ryan Christie could yet turn out to be crucial. Had Ryan Christie scored, who knows how that afternoon might have turned out. But in the interest of moving things along, given that we've got two fullbacks and two central defenders still to pick, if Laurie says McGregor and he's a Celtic man, I'll go with McGregor as well.
Laurie's won you over. Yep. Laurie has convinced you to go Alan McGregor, but the problem is you two are going to have to agree.
Well, I actually said I said McGregor.
Well, you thought he was the best keeper. I was
yes.
Okay.
So yeah, so for me it's a yes also.
Not a lot in it though. Is that fair to say?
I think you're looking at a lot of good goalkeepers. For every save that McGregor's made, you know, you could go back to the penalty save in the cup final, and you go back time after time. You know, they have all brilliant attributes.
Okay, James McCluskey says it must be Fraser Forster. Saves against Barca and Rangers, outstanding. Nobody else can touch him. Sorry James, the guys have gone Alan McGregor as the goalkeeper. That's the first name in our team of the decade. We'll complete the back four next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray are here. We are trying to come up with a team of the decade. The guys are responsible for the goalkeeper and the back four tonight, but they need your help. They need you to call with your thoughts. They need you to tweet your thoughts as well. They've already picked Alan McGregor as their goalkeeper. They seem to have upset a few, but they did hold their hands up and say there wasn't much in it. Fraser Forster, Craig Gordon even mentioned the likes of Joe Lewis and Darren Randolph from out with the Old Firm, but Alan McGregor gets the nod. Now we need to pick a back four. We also need to give you a full-time teaser. You ready for this?
Yes.
Can you name the eight players who were the top goal scorers in all competitions for each decade for Celtic or Rangers? So we're starting 70s. Does that make sense? So we're looking 70s,
Hollenstein.
70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s and 2010s. You need Celtic's top scorer from that decade, and you need Rangers' top scorer from that decade, starting with the 70s.
Collinstein.
No.
Derek Johnson.
Yes.
So who would have been the Celtic at that time? Kenny Dalglish. No.
Yes.
What was it? Oh, 70s, out of the way.
80s.
80s would have been
Mo Johnson.
No.
Brian McClair.
Yes.
Oh, stop it.
He's on fire. Don't believe what I'm witnessing here.
So Rangers.
Listen, that's 3 of 8. We can
McCoist.
Park. Yeah, oh, he's absolutely flying. Right, we can park it there because that's 4 of 8 already, isn't it? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'll tell you what, 10 players, sorry. Shows you that my arithmetic is not great. 10 players, or, yeah. Because 2 in the 70s, 2 in the 80s, 2 in the 90s, 2 in the 1000s.
So we're looking for 90s now.
So you're looking for 10 players overall. It is worth bearing in mind that one player might be in there twice. Okay.
Oh, yes.
But right. You've got Kenny Dalglish, Derek Johnson, Brian McClair, Ali McCoy so far. So we've still got the 90s, the 2000s and the 2010s to come. We've got a bit of breaking news tonight, Hugh. And it's a Celtic statement in response to Ryan Christie's 3-match ban. Celtic Football Club and Ryan Christie are extremely disappointed at the outcome. Given the recent treatment of Celtic players and the lack of sanctions being imposed on those responsible, the fact that a sanction's been imposed on Ryan for the incident in question demonstrates a worrying lack of consistency in the Scottish FA fast track process. Naturally, we will be contacting the Scottish FA regarding our concerns. Scottish football deserves a disciplinary process which is fair, consistent and fit for purpose.
Right. First of all, it's inevitable that Celtic would release a statement because they always want to mirror the view of the Celtic fans who do not like this decision today. When they refer to the lack of consistency, I think that case is unarguable. There has been a lack of consistency. And the only other observation I would make that the recent treatment of Celtic players, I wish they had specified which players, what happened, and then we could assess what Celtic are talking about.
Does that... And I'm not disagreeing, I'm just asking for you to elaborate. Does that get us anywhere? Because I thought there was a... I thought you shared a school of thought some people have, that this forensic detail, you know, the statements, counter statements, counter statements again, picking out incidents from last week, from last month and last year, Will it ever end if clubs start doing that?
No, with regard to Celtic and Rangers, no, it will never end. We are midway through the most hotly contested league title race for a decade. When Rangers lost the Betfred Cup to Celtic, they came out with a statement on decisions which had gone against Rangers because they were unhappy with the goal scored by Christopher Julien. They reiterated their idea that VAR had to come into Scottish football. So they spoke on behalf of their fans. Now, Celtic's statement is speaking on behalf of their fans. They believe that there is inconsistency in the fast track system, and they also believe that they have been victim to this lack of consistency. Therefore, for me, this is what Celtic and Rangers will do to mirror the opinion of their supporters, because the supporters would demand that Celtic released that statement, as the Celtic Rangers supporters would have expected Rangers to respond when the cup final was lost to a contentious decision.
Well, you can find details of that statement if you want the exact wording. Head over to our Twitter feed at Clyde SSB. Right, your Scottish football team of the decade. That's the name of it. There are no rules, no restrictions. If you can put up a good case for a guy who played here 1 year, that's fine. If he played here for 9 or 10, whatever, it really is up to you, but you need the listeners to help you. Laurie actually managed to sway Hugh, I think. I saw his eyes light up. He swayed Hugh to go for Alan McGregor in goal. Now we need a back four. Will we start with the right back? You always go right to left, don't you?
Well, Lustig, Michael Lustig, fantastic for Celtic, consistent, a real discovery, and terrific in that position on a consistent basis. That's me kicking it off, Alec.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to do it by the stats, Alex, but just for some context, I think it was about 250 odd appearances over the decade for Mikael Lustig, 16 trophies in that period.
Yeah, very consistent, Gordon. Again, you know, I think there's a few potential candidates. I think Tavernier would come into the reckoning. The boy at Hibs,
David Gray, cup winning captain.
Yeah, was the one that came to Rangers.
You know they've done well when you get Sir added in front of your name, Hugh. And like I say, yep, consistency, longevity, but maybe just a big moment. David Gray, the Scottish Cup, Hibs all those
Whittaker,
years.
I liked Whittaker. I thought Whittaker was a very good player as well. In his day, he moved for a few million quid down south, so he would maybe come into the reckoning. I actually think Whittaker's a better player than Gray was.
Yeah,
but if you're talking about, you know, moments, impact, achievement, he would come right into that, wouldn't he?
Well, does one massive moment get you the decade award?
No, not necessarily. I'm just throwing it out there.
Throw it back in.
What's a big moment though? That's all. That's yes. all over. Yeah. For those Hibs fans. Sir David Gray for a reason.
Maybe you haven't won the cup for over 100 years and he scores the winning goal, then
you're in the mix.
You'll be, for the Hibs supporters, a legend for all time. But I don't think that one moment gets you the right back of the decade award.
I mean, you
Mark Wilson.
Good point. I think
he won four titles.
His best stuff probably came just before, didn't it? Before the decade, maybe.
He will argue that. I gave him the howler of the week. So
is this not the decade? Is this not the decade he claims to have scored in a Scottish Cup final? It was clearly a Stephen Craigan own goal, but Mark Wilson claims it was his. It definitely wasn't. Billy Allen is on Twitter. He's thrown in Stephen Whittaker, which is a name that you mentioned as well.
Yep, very good player.
Sometimes, Hugh, there are going to be times when you'll pick players who maybe don't have the trophies in the cabinet or don't have the appearances under their belts. Uh-huh. But I wonder if you can argue too much with that trophy haul from Mikael Lustig. Like I say, lots of Celtic players across the decade have done that, so it's not the be-all and end-all.
No. I just think he was an outstanding player on a consistent level.
Now let's get the thoughts of Stuart and Kirk and Tillock. Stuart, who would you pick for a right-back for Team of the Decade?
It's not right. I would honestly go for Mikael Lustig, mate. But I couldn't believe what Alec Ray just says, Tavernier. You having a laugh?
Well, he's not picked him.
Honestly,
he's not picked him.
No, we're actually flowing players into the mix. I think he gets something like 17 goals last year. Plus, what was that? About one of the highest assists in the division. So, I'm just throwing some stats at you.
What has he won? But honestly, what has he won?
Well, that's.
I can't believe you even did have any run there in the right back. Well, Alec, you're going to have to get the blue glasses off, mate. Honestly,
the thing is, we're throwing David Gray into the mix. But if you're actually asking me who's a better player, I would take Tavernier all day long. So that's the argument. There's no what you've won. That was part of the criteria.
There are no rules. Stuart, why would you go for Mikael Lustig? And I'm not talking about Tavernier. I'm just talking specifically. What did you make of him in his time here?
Lustig was fantastic for Celtic. Absolutely fantastic. A lot of injury problems here, but absolutely fantastic with Celtic. He was Celtic through and through. He done everything every week. He actually played with a lot of injuries right through, but he just got on, mate. He was a great player, and he should definitely win that as a right back.
Yeah, you have to vote for someone at the end of the day, and Lustig gets my vote and that of the gentleman on the line.
Alex, and although we were just throwing names, are you comfortable to put him
absolutely
in as the right back?
16 trophies. I think, if we just say he's the one person who we think is going to win it, it'll be a very quick
discussion.
5 minutes, yeah. So we'll try to drag it out a bit, partner.
I don't really like the way you've spun that. But listen, Stuart, that's a fair suggestion, and it turns out the guys agree with you. So Alan McGregor in goal, Mikael Lustig at right back. Some of this is going to be difficult. I wonder if the centre back might not throw up two difficult questions, but maybe one. Because again, Hugh, you're looking at lots of guys have come
absolutely
and gone. And of course, Celtic have won a lot of trophies in that time, but it's been an ever changing centre back pairing. Let's go for one, because we need to pick two. Is there one that absolutely jumps out at
you? Hugh, before you start, don't mention any Rangers ones. You've got blue specs on.
Oh, well. No, but I'm a Celtic apologist. So for me, if you want to talk about quality defenders, central defenders, over the last 10 years, there has not been a central defender within our league, our major league, who could come anywhere near to Virgil van Dijk.
So even though he was here just for, I think it was two seasons, you saw enough.
Yeah, I think some people can have two seasons that are better than others 10 seasons. And for me, Van Dijk shone out, absolutely top quality player, and that's why he has gone on to do what he has done since leaving Celtic and making that climb from Southampton to Liverpool, from Liverpool to the Champions League, a winner. World champion, arguably best central defender in the world right now. So for me, we were lucky to have him here for as long as he was here. So for me, Van Dijk is unopposed.
Yeah, for me also, I think he could have played with his flip-flops on, Gordon. He was that good. He was exceptional, power, pace. distribution. He had the lot. He's a Rolls Royce of a centre half, and I don't think you'll get too many complaints from anyone out there.
Yeah, because I'll keep repeating it just so if anyone's joining us, because this is the way it's going to work for the rest of the week. There are no real rules. So if someone played here for a year and was good enough and you guys want to put them in, that's absolutely fine. And it is worth sometimes taking into account, you know, the bigger story. A guy who has now gone on genuinely to be the best defender in the world. What was he, second in the Ballon d'Or?
Yeah.
Behind Lionel. I mean, that's the type of company this guy's keeping.
Elite.
And you sometimes see players, don't you, Alex, who...
Yeah.
Because we've had a lot of good players up here, loads of them. But I'm not sure there are many like him who sort of... Very quickly it became apparent that he was...
Miles ahead of the level.
I mean, when you've got your central defender running from his own half and come past five players and scoring, and he was started banging free kicks in the top corner... You, what's your favourite phrase, your favourite word when it comes
levels
to football?
It's all about levels. No, listen, he has, I said a word there. He goes into the world class, elite level. You know, you get very good international players who go on and get 60, 70 caps. He then goes on to compete at Ballon d'Or level. And I think he'll continue to do that because he will be growing in stature as well, if, as if he could grow any more. But when you become European, world champions, you can then go to that... contesting that with wee Messi next year.
Okay, right. So we've still got one other centre back and a left back. I can see a few arguments breaking out on those. Let's take a call though from Paul in Crookston. Hi, Paul.
Well, hi there, panel. Happy New Year.
Yeah, same to you, Paul.
Hi. Well, a couple of wee points. I had one for Hugh and one for Alex. But when you talk about Team of the Decade, I don't know if these count, but hard to find, obviously with Rangers going through all that stuff through a decade. But I don't know if this counts, but early 2010s and whatnot. Davy Weir, centre back, Walter Smith's last year with Rangers and whatnot, taking through to the title, and Sasa Papic. Well, I thought it was quite reliable, the right back.
Listen, but, they all count, Paul. If they played here in this decade, they count. Don't you worry about that. So
I'll throw the A2 in. The points are, in response to the Celtic statement there as well, just to add in, having watched the game and you want to talk about inconsistencies, well, Bolingoli should have been sent off in about the 80 odd minutes or something like that for another yellow card, because he hauled down Morelos twice, and I think the referee was a bit lenient and letting him off with it. And the other one was Christie was pulling, I think it was maybe Joe Aribo, if I think back, which if he gave a penalty for Katic doing it, which was definitely a penalty, there's the inconsistency there. Why was it?
I think that's one of the things. It's consistency. You're looking for the referee to pick up in various points, and whatever team you support, you'll have a gripe against the opposition. And unfortunately, when you lose it, like an appeal today, it seems as if it's super harsh because there's been other examples where they've not been punished.
That, to me, Hugh, is where this discussion is genuinely never, ever, ever going to end, because teams are every right to feel hard turned by. But until such a time as a referee gets every single decision right in every game in a season, if clubs keep wanting to talk about individual decisions, it will never end, because Celtic feel hard done by, and that's fine, I'm not disagreeing. Paul's come on, and I think everyone in the studio agreed that Bolingoli should have been sent off.
Said at the time.
You've seen, what was it, the one that Paul discussed was Ryan Christie pulling, and then to go on the same incident, did the ball actually come off a Rangers head and go out for the corner, which they then scored from? It will never, ever end.
We have to
and fans are sort of allowed to do that, but should clubs really be getting...
They're doing it because they have to. The Rangers fans will be incensed by the Betfred Cup final or by this, that and the other, and I'm not disagreeing with Paul's analysis of the Bolingoli situation or with Ryan Christie pulling a jersey. Not disagreeing at all. Where we are now, Rangers lose a cup final and their fans are saying, you better complain. So Rangers complain. Celtic have this Christie ban, which the fans vehemently disagree with, and they're saying, we had better complain. And Celtic are only responding in kind. This is a unique season. I always knew it would be, and now we are immersed in it.
I don't ask this because of Celtic's statement tonight or because of Rangers' statement after the Betfred Cup final. I ask this from a general point of view. At what point do club statements become not about defending your club and actually become about pandering to an element of fans who are unable to handle injustice? And like I say, let me repeat it, let me be very clear, I'm not talking about Celtic or Rangers. I'm talking generally.
But the bottom line is that only Celtic and Rangers tend to issue statements. And I'm not sure about pandering, but they are mindful of their supporter base. And Rangers came out and said what they said about VAR because of the Christopher Julien goal. And Celtic are coming out and talking about lack of consistency because they know that all over social media there are photographs of Alfredo Morelos a year ago doing to Ryan Christie what Ryan Christie did to Alfredo Morelos.
Paul, I'll tell you what, hang on the line and you can finish your point. It's just we're running late for this break. We're going to have to get the rest of the back four for the team of the decade, and we're going to have to get the answers to the teaser, and we'll check back in with Paul next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans are here. Just quickly before we go back to Paul, and we've got two more positions to decide on our team of the decade for the back four. On tonight's teaser, thank you to Martin for sending it in to fulltime@clyde1.com. We're looking for the 10 players who were Rangers or Celtic's top scorer for each decade, 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s, 2010s. So one from each. I'll give you a clue at the moment. Although there are 10 answers, you're only looking for 8 players.
Yeah, no,
because
I
two guys did it twice.
Yes.
So for the 70s, you've got Kenny Dalglish, Derek Johnson. For the 80s, you've got Brian McClair, Ali McCoist.
McCoist will be the 90s as well.
Correct.
Could McClair be the 90s?
No.
As well? Right.
Big Pierre?
No. It's a bit more obvious.
McAvaney.
Henrik.
I said more obvious.
Henrik.
Henrik Larsson. For the 90s, he got 69 goals towards the end of the 90s. What about the 2000s?
Boydie's got to be Rangers, surely.
Yes. And for Celtic?
Henrik.
Exactly. So you've only got two to get. We're looking for the top scorer for Rangers in the 2010s and the top scorer for Celtic in the 2010s. Paul, what was the rest of your point? On you go. Hi, Paul.
Paul's had enough.
We did keep him waiting quite a while. Paul, are you still with us? I think he is.
Hi there.
Hi, Paul, are you back?
Sorry, I had it on mute.
Quite right, Paul, we kept you waiting. What's your second part of your point?
I was talking to myself there for a while. No, what it is, just 2 points. One for Hugh. I know you said a bit tight tonight. One for Alex. So I'll drop the 2 points in, then you can decide how you want to answer them. Hugh had mentioned for a while back, and I'd been on this programme before, but when he said it, about for as long as Brendan was at Celtic, Rangers would live within their shadows, was the common statement. And obviously you were proven right there, Hugh, because obviously Rangers didn't win a trophy when he was there. But what made you come to that? I want to know what made you come to that statement. And also, would you say the same with Neil Lennon being in charge now, that Rangers have kind of, well, they have, they've closed the gap. Would you say the same is true with Neil Lennon being in position? And then my question to Alex was, we're looking for a striker. I think Eduardo Herrera might be out there, but listen, it's an idea. The guy's a striker. He's a Mexican international, so he was. Gerrard's turned players around. He's turned around Ryan Jack. He's turned around Morelos. He's turned around Tavernier. All these different people.
Right,
why can you not turn around a striker that's there? It won't cost us anything. We've already got him.
Okay, let's put it into
with regard to Brendan Rodgers. I said that of Brendan Rodgers because here we have one of the great managerial talents in the UK. And at that time, when Brendan Rodgers came in, Rangers were going through that peculiar phase of Mark Warburton and Pedro Caixinha. And on the one hand, you had an exceptional manager at Celtic, and managerial uncertainty at Rangers. And that was what led me to say what I said about, for as long as Brendan Rodgers is at Celtic, Rangers will live in their shadow. And by your own admission, I was correct. I would not say the same, with the greatest respect, of Neil Lennon, because Rangers have now got themselves a manager who is growing in stature week upon week, and who now has a team who could, I underline could, win the title this season. And that's why I cannot say what I said of Brendan Rodgers about Neil Lennon?
Right, quickly, Alex. We've got a lot to get through still. Herrera, yes or no?
Absolutely no chance. Two goals in 18 games when he was here, and he is in Siberia. They'll be looking to.
I think it's Mexico.
Yes, but the metaphor.
Could Steven Gerrard not win him round as Paul or improve him as Paul?
No, I don't think so. He's got six months his contract to go as well. They'll be looking to ship him off. Otherwise, they'd have brought him back
decent wages as well.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Yeah.
Right, Paul. Thank you very much. That was Paul in Crookston. Right, you've got a team of the decade that looks like this so far: Alan McGregor in goal, Mikael Lustig right back, Virgil van Dijk centre back. We need another centre back and another and a left back. So, Paul actually suggested David Weir. Now, and listen, we don't have a great deal to choose from because a lot of the central defenders came and went quite quickly within the decade. So we're not really going to find too many who played at the top level for the entirety of that period. What names have you got for me?
I would not dispute David Weir. I think he, again...
Is that the whole 57 appearances in the season that he turned 40, the player of the year, that type of thing?
Yeah. You know, he was, for me, no Virgil van Dijk, but he was an effective, consistent defender of high repute, and I would not be against his inclusion.
Could you argue, Alex?
No, but I was going to throw a couple of names: Gordon Benkovic, Boyata, very good players as well. But when you mention,
I mean, 50s, not here very long, and
I know. I'm just in terms of the quality, but in terms of 57 games at his age, his professionalism, and to win a couple of trophies, which is not the criteria, but I just think David Weir played at a very high level for a long time and had a swan song at Rangers at his death last 4 or 5 years.
Stick him in then. You both seem to be unanimous.
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
Right, left back. This could be interesting because it's going to be up to, do you base it on what they did in Scotland, or is there more to it? Are there two obvious names that jump out by any chance?
Well, of course, Kieran Tierney, and for me, Andrew Robertson. I revel in the fact that a boy from Glasgow became a Champions League winner.
Amazing.
And that fairy tale ascent began in Scotland. And for that reason, bearing in mind all that he has gone on to achieve, he started here in the decade in question, and I would put Andrew Robertson forward.
Oh, that's controversial. I'm going for Kieran Tierney. You know, I just think his age, you know, was it 7 trophies or something?
Eight trophies, 3 consecutive Young Player of
remarkable.
The Year awards.
And, you know, he could potentially kick on to a very good level as well if he can go over his injury problems at the moment. So, but I take Hugh's point on board. When you're talking about, again, getting back to the elite level, Andy Robertson's got to be in the top 3 or 4 left backs in the world at the moment.
So, Hugh, you acknowledge Kieran Tierney's success, but you're just going for that wow factor that the Queen's Park to Dundee United, all within a decade, Queen's Park to Champions League winner.
I could not do anything other than acknowledge Kieran Tierney's outstanding time at Celtic. I just think when you have a fairy tale, the fairy tale gets highlighted.
Alex goes for Tierney, Hugh goes for Robertson. Something's got to give.
Have we got a caller?
No, we don't, because we're out of time.
Producers, then I better know you'd be involved.
Are you pulling rank? Are you going for seniority?
Yeah, look, to be fair, listen, see, when you're talking about Champions League and that, I tried to put a case up for KT, but I have to say, when you're talking about Champions League, I always talk about levels. He's gone to that level now, so we'll give it to Robbo.
Okay, there it is then. The back four: Alan McGregor, Mikael Lustig, Virgil van Dijk, David Weir, and Andy Robertson. That is the way your team of the decade looks so far.
Absolutely.
Happy?
Oh, I'm delighted.
Right, we'll continue tomorrow with midfield and strikers as the week progresses. What about the last one in the teaser? You were looking for the top scorer for Celtic and Rangers from each decade since and including the 70s. So you've got Dalglish, Johnson, McClare, McCoist twice, Larson twice, Chris Boyd. You're looking for the decade that's just finished.
Morelos.
Yes.
And we're going for a Griffalo. Griffiths.
Are you going for Lee Griffiths as well?
He certainly scored over 100 goals for Celtic,
and they all would have come during the decade.
Yeah.
Correct. Griffiths and Morelos.
Toffee. The likely ones.
You have done it. Right, so that's us for tonight. Thank you for all your calls. We'll be back tomorrow at 6 o'clock with Gordon DL and with Roger Hanna, your usual Tuesday night duo. In the meantime, just stay right where you are. No Callum Gallagher tonight. I think he's not feeling too well. But Barry Wilkins is up next, and he'll take good care of you, and we'll see you at 6 o'clock. Clyde 1
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. The form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.